We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though I will tickle your taint and giggle all day. My guest today, you know her, you love her. She was in Mother's Day. She had a show called Take My Wife that's now on Stars, and you can download it. She's a voice on Care Bears, and she hosts a really awesome show at UCB Franklin on Tuesdays called Put Your Hands Together. It's Cameron Esposito!
Nicole, you know what was so fun is that I was lost in this factory where you record this, and you just didn't even emerge from the door, but opened the door and just yelled, Cameron, into the... And I felt so safe. And it was a place of... I was feeling very nervous because this is like a dark warehouse, you know?
Yes,
like
it's very strange.
It's the evening and...
Downtown LA.
In downtown LA. Where the fuck are the people? Mm-hmm, not here. Mm-hmm, mm-mm. Except there are people down here.
It's weird. Apparently, I just learned today people live upstairs.
Yes.
This is an old loading dock to something. And then there's the spaghetti factory next door.
The something factory. There was definitely, the factory was in there.
But it's delicious food.
That sounds great.
And you would never think going to a place called Spaghetti Factory would be delicious and delightful.
No.
But it truly is. Cameron, truly, thank you so much for coming. I apologize for making you wait.
Oh, no, my pleasure.
I'm bad.
To be here. My pleasure to be here.
Time management.
I was just happy to... I felt so found, like a little kid that had been left on the side of a train. What's that called? Platform.
A platform, a train platform.
Then their parents pull away, mm-hmm. You know? There I
and
was.
Like, oh, no. I'm all alone now.
Now I've got no
and
one.
And then a cool car comes by and goes, Cameron, get
yeah,
in!
And I'm like, cool. And then and then that actually works out and I don't die. I'm like a child that ends up being okay.
I mean, that's always
that's
the scariest
always
thing. Just be like, am I going to die here? Yeah. I truly don't like being places where I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, is someone going to come out and yell at me and be like, scram, you idiot! You don't belong here!
Yeah, can I tell you a scary story that
Please?
I had happened to me? I was in Buffalo, New York a couple weeks ago to do stand-up comedy. This is, we're recording this in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So this was in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
It was during their only, or maybe their first, maybe they've had one since then, blizzard of the season. And I was taking a lift back to my hotel after the show, and the person that was driving me, you know how you can tell if somebody has, like, a speakerphone on, even if, like what was on his phone was the GPS,
mm-hmm.
but then it had that little, like, green line.
Yes, yes, yes.
On an iPhone. And so we're driving along. I'm in the middle of a warehouse district, not unlike this one,
mm-hmm.
but except in Buffalo, and it's extremely cold. And then I just, through the speakerphone, somebody just started... laughing. An unknown person Mm-mm. On speakerphone. Mm-mm. Started laughing very loudly. Mm-mm. And the driver acted as if this wasn't happening. So I, what would you have done in this situation? It was very cold. I just have to make, it's a blizzard. It's very, you could walk, if you duck and roll out of the car. Mm-hmm.
You would just you
can
die. Away.
You could die of exposure. It's like lady birding is not possible. So what do you do?
Lady birding. Oh, I love that. Honestly, I would be like, oh, are you on the phone? What was that? Please help.
You would, ask at least one follow-up question. See, I did yes. nothing and oh, asked okay. no follow-up questions and just rode with my hand on the door handle. Just like...
That's very... I would ask.
I'm either like, going to live or die.
Who was that?
Yep. Never acknowledged. Drop me off.
I was
never
in
brought it up
a
once.
Lyft where the Lyft driver obviously had farted because there was a very rancid smell. And I went, oh boy, I guess I'll roll down the window. And he went, because you farted? And I was like, no. No, you farted. That we had a very
did you really say you farted?
Childlike. What?
That,
yeah.
that makes me very yes. happy.
Yes, because he accused me of farting.
No, I just love the idea of two adults.
Two adults just be like, you farted.
You,
no,
farted.
You farted.
That's the nicest. Thank you for telling me that story.
Oh, you're welcome. And when he dropped me off at home, he was like, smell you later. And I was like, no, smell yourself later because you farted. It was a very tense but playful ride.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Cameron, are you single right now?
Well, I'm separated. I'm a person who's mm-hmm. separated. What do you check? You know what I mean? I do live in Los Angeles, so like I recently went to the doctor and had to fill out a form and there was a box mm-hmm. for separated. But
really?
I feel like maybe that's a very
niche
LA
box?
Version of mm-hmm. a form. Because usually, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's usually a single, divorced, or widowed.
Exactly.
But I like that they're separated. It's like, I'm still working through this.
Yeah, I thought it
Thank
was pretty...
Thank you for seeing me and acknowledging it.
I thought it was pretty cool that they had all of that to offer.
Are you on the apps at all?
I'm not on the apps.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to be very real. I have never... been on an app or had an internet date. Like, because now they're apps, but like, let's say 5 years ago when they would have uh-huh. just been like on a desktop type mm-hmm. of a version, or you had to pull it up through your phone mm-hmm. manually through some sort of Safari.
Yes.
I've also never done that. I've never done any of it.
You're
Isn't that very
lucky. Very
weird though?
No, you are very lucky.
I guess I'm lucky, but I do feel like out of step with my entire generation.
Mm.
Like, I'm 37. I'm not mm-hmm. 500. So it is weird that I've never had this experience.
I have, like, a handful of friends who have never done online dating.
Never.
And it's very funny because a lot of them will be like, well, let me see yours, and start swiping for me. And I'm not one of those people that's like, it's life or death. I don't want to die alone, because we all die alone. I'm just like...
We do.
It's not a game. I'm truly just, you're not even looking at what they're saying. And so I, like, when I go to Portland to visit my friend Tess, I let her swipe and I let her message people because her and her husband really love doing it. And it's just sad.
But okay, when did you, like, if you could give me the origin, mm-hmm. like, when do you think was the first time you were experiencing this?
The first time I tried online dating was when I was living in New York
mm-hmm.
and, oh, years and years and years ago, because it was eHarmony.
Yeah, like, please tell me more, yes.
Well, eHarmony and, like, Match.com were, like, one of the first, I feel.
Yep.
And I applied for eHarmony, filled out the whole questionnaire, and they said I was part of the 2% of unmatchable people.
Are you serious?
Yes. I wish I screenshot it, but, like, it was so long ago, and it was a Dell. I don't know how to do that on a Dell.
What does that even mean?
It means that they ask you the same question in different iterations, and I thought it would be funny to have a different answer for every iteration. So to the algorithm, I'm sure it was like sociopath.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So then I started doing OkCupid, and I think this would have to be in like 2008, maybe 2009.
I was going to say, I was going to guess. Mm-hmm. That's what I was like, this is 10 years ago. I could tell by the way... Just the ideas you mm-hmm. were mentioning,
Dale.
I was like, this is a 10 years ago
uh-huh.
situation. So I guess it's not like I it's not like I've not dated in 10 years. I definitely have. I feel like, yeah, can you imagine? I'm like, we're like 10 years off in this experience. You've been doing something for 10 years, or you've had 10 years of experience with something I've not even done one time. It makes me kind of weird. I'm kind of a weirdo.
No, I think you're so lucky that you haven't had to experience or navigating this thing, because you match with someone, you're like, okay, on a surface level, we think we're compatible. Then you start texting and it's either, ugh, I hate the way this person texts, or you're like, oh, I like the way this person texts. And then that creates this weird intimacy that's false, because you still, you don't know them. You don't even know what they sound like. And then you meet them and you either have a connection or you don't. And then you're like, well, that means I've wasted, if you've talked for a week, you've wasted a week of time talking to this person, where like, if you just met them in real life, you can just almost immediately be like, ugh, that's a no.
Disagree. I will say only that I disagree with this premise.
Okay.
Because I am a lesbian.
Yes.
And one thing that is true is that you can meet, if you're lesbian, you can meet someone in real life, not necessarily think that they're right for you, and then move in with them and date them for 1.5 years. I really feel like, I mean, again, I'm not some magical person that I've never been, that I've never done online dating. I'm just somebody who has, because of our job that we both share, we're both performers, I am like visible, right? And then I also am a part of this like really small subset, which is like queer folks. And that's like getting bigger all the time. It's a bigger, it's a growing community. There are more and more people identifying as queer, but it does like shrink things down to a sort of more manageable group. And then for like gay men, there's, I think, sort of an expectation of like cruising around and, and like being out on the prowl, which, by the way, not all like men dig, but like that's the expectation. Whereas like I think for queer women, and then there's a lot of like trans folks who sort of fall in this category or whatever, there's like a, the expectation is that you're going to kind of go to these like arts events slash it's also like a workout, and you'll make a craft, you know, and it's all, and dogs are there, you know, and everybody, and you can't, and but don't bring any raisins, people might be allergic, you know. It's all very, it's like so deliberate, and it's like community oriented. So I just feel like you end up meeting a lot of people and really knowing them in a way that like maybe for straight folks is just like not happening the same way. Like, you're, it seems like a more, it's a more difficult to narrow it down. Like, you're just walking through the world and it could be anybody, versus I'm going to like this specific event where everybody there will be somebody I could date.
I agree with you, because we live in a very heteronormative world where, as a person who dates someone who's the opposite sex, you walk through life being like, any old person's my choice. And I feel like when you identify as gay or queer or non-binary, you're like, I have to wonder and I have to figure out. It's almost, you have to like peel back a layer to figure out if you can even be compatible with this person. But then I've also met a lot of late in life lesbians who don't identify as lesbians, who are married to women, who are like, I don't know, I just fell in love with this person. It's, love is such a very curious, weird thing that I guess you really can't boil down to any real logical thing.
No, that's true. But there is also like a culture. Like, that's kind of what I'm talking about, is less like who you'll end up with and sort of like what culture you have access to. Because I think like, it's not that there aren't queer women and non-binary folks who use dating apps. There certainly are. But we also just have this like the cultural expectation is that it'll be, is that you'll like leave your house and go to these events where you end up meeting a lot of people. Like, I just have, I've dated a shit ton of people. I've just met them all in the real world. But they have, but my real world is maybe an app, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, it's maybe already doing the matching thing.
Yeah, where it's for you on your phone.
Exactly.
Honestly, that makes a lot of sense.
Where it's like, here's 10% of people that are interested in the same weird, like, like, painting where it's everybody's using real human hair, you know, and you're like, well, we all both ended up here, so I guess we should date, you know. I just feel like
a painting where we use real human hair is so specific, and I feel like it might be true in your life.
It's not real in my life, but I know that there, you know, there's definitely a queer listener to this show who mm-hmm. does work in that medium. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yes, a Winston Charles. Yes, that's who uses hair in their work. I loved the first iteration of the L Word, which is coming back.
Yes.
And I loved that everyone would go to the planet and everyone dated each other. And I was like, this is fun. I want this. And the same thing with Queer as Folk. I was like, I want to date all my friends. And I don't have friendships like that where it's just fluid.
It's very confusing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because, okay, so you can't actually throw anybody away. Like,
no.
After you date them, even if it goes terribly,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see them, like, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, because now they're dating your best friend.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can't burn it down to the ground, and that is really positive. I think, mm-hmm. like, straight folks could have a little bit more of that. But I also think that, like, the expectation there is pretty challenging. Like, the real life,
mm-hmm.
my wife Rhea and I, who we are separated, like, we're co-hosting a stand-up show together mm-hmm. right now. That's, like, the most lesbian thing of all time, to still continue
it
to
really
work together.
Is. It's Can so Can I ask gay. You about that? Is that okay?
Yeah, you could ask me about it. You mean hosting the show?
Yeah, is it hard?
Yeah, it is hard. It's, mm-hmm. well, because it's very fun
mm-hmm.
is why it's hard. Like, Rhea and I met, like, as comics first,
mm-hmm.
and there's no part of me that has ever thought that, like, Rhea wasn't so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think, like, it's hard to still have that feeling about somebody. Like, you're mm-hmm. still so funny. Like, I still really appreciate your art. That's like, a confusing feeling to have about somebody that you're not currently partnered to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I'm not going to see them. I'm going to mm-hmm. see Rhea for the rest of my life, regardless of what happens. Like,
mm-hmm.
literally, we work in the same field.
Yes.
I'm going to see them forever.
It's a very yeah. small community doing comedy.
You know,
run into the same people all the time.
I just felt like, well, I'm either going to see them on my terms and,
mm-hmm.
like, on their, like, we'll either decide what our terms are and see each other that way, or we're going to, like, randomly run into each
mm-hmm.
other and it'll be much worse.
I think that's a very elegant way to handle that. I think you are evolved. Like, I think instead of being petty, you're like, well, we created this show. It's still going on. I don't want to have, you know, custody of the show. I get it to Tuesdays a month or whatever. I think it's just so evolved that you can be civil, be funny, and continue doing this art that you created together. I like it. I think it's great.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I hope that it, I mean, we took a break, you know, to make
mm-hmm.
it, like, from hosting, to make it more of a choice. Like,
mm-hmm.
we took a break so that we could both choose whether we wanted to come back and do it. And I will say, you know, again, I think that's, like, one of the gifts of queerness is, like,
mm-hmm.
is, like, knowing a little bit about what it's like to have somebody have to continue to be a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because, like, if you don't have any practice with that, how do you – it seems really hard if you don't have any – like, do you
mm-hmm.
have relationships with people you've dated?
Not really. Well, I mean, I have relationships with people I've hooked up with. So
very different.
It is different
because
yeah. There was no, like, real feelings exchanged. But anyone I've had – I haven't had a real relationship, one. I had, like, an on and off again thing for, like, 3 years, and I haven't talked to him in 2 years. And then the last person I dated that I was serious about, we don't really talk anymore. And one of them wasn't in comedy, so it was just like, I'm not gonna really run into him. So
yeah.
Meh. And then I don't really talk to anyone I've been passionate about. They just fade away.
The folks that you've hooked up with, do those people pop into your life and it feels neutral? Like,
yes.
Okay.
It's very neutral. Because it's like, I've been doing comedy for so long and you just run into people show after show. And it's kind of like, if you're going to be awkward about it, you're just going to feel awkward a lot.
These are folks in comedy.
Yes.
So that's another thing that is so funny. Like, okay. Because Rhea's the first comic I ever dated. I dated
mm-hmm.
a lot of artists.
Ah.
I dated like painter, clown. Don't worry about it.
I love before yeah. I can even pass judgment. Don't worry about it. What kind of clown? Like a full blown honkity honk?
Yeah, but like Cirque du Soleil stuff. So like,
oh, okay.
Like clowning okay. would be like a bouffon is actually like the French for okay. clown or whatever.
All right, I like it.
They're also like an acrobat or whatever. So they're like up on a trapeze and then they like come down and like juggle stuff. You know, like
okay.
Because I was a circus ringmaster. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We've all gotten to where we are today, which is this factory.
You were a circus ringmaster?
I was, yeah. I was.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
How long were you a circus ringmaster?
Just 3 years. But I there was a circus company in Chicago that mm-hmm. was like folks that who worked like Cirque du Soleil type stuff. Like, so not animals, but like trapeze, or they climb a giant rope, right? My roommate was a hair hanger. Which is,
oh my God,
you hang from your yes. hair.
Oh, that must be so painful.
Yeah, it's like a family secret. She had to like train from a family that's like, our lineage is, we are mm-hmm. hair hanging people.
That is bizarre.
It is
that
bizarre.
That is so strange. I love it.
I know, me too. I loved it too. I was hosting shows with them for them in Chicago, mm-hmm. and then they asked me to come on the road with them. So then I was touring with them.
And then for how long?
Just for 3 years.
That's so funny.
It was cool.
Have you seen the Magic Mike show in Las Vegas?
No. Is it? Does so it the, feel?
The
tell
woman
me.
Who hosts it has your kind of energy, and I wonder if the person who created the show saw you be a ringmaster on tour, and were like, "Well, that's the person who's going to be the ringmaster here."
Oh my God, that's really funny.
Yeah, I can't remember the woman's name, but I saw it, and I was like, "That's Cameron Esposito." Yeah,
I wish I had that job.
And I think she had your old haircut.
Oh my God. Ye old side mullet?
Yeah. For like a half a second, I was like, Cameron? But it was not you.
What if you didn't know, but that's what I was working on?
That you just fly back and forth to Vegas to host Magic Mike?
But also that you had to be like, this makes sense as a project for you, you know?
Yeah, you're like, I'm a queer lesbian comic who really loves men sometimes. that'd be very funny. I would love it.
But all these people, yogi, you know, like any, like modern dancer, person in the roller derby, like mm-hmm. this whole, like adjacent things, people that might be in, like in the arts world, but in the art world. But Rhea was like the first comic that I really dated. And like until that, it never occurred to me that stand-up was like sexual for anybody. Because when I started in Chicago, mm-hmm. literally I was the gay comic. Mm-hmm. Like there was one dude, Bill Cruz. I think I don't know where he lives. Maybe he lives here. Maybe he lives in Chicago. I don't know. But yeah, there were no, there were zero women, and so it was like never. Like I would go to Mike's, mm-hmm. and then I would go home, and it was years before I realized that comics were hooking up with each other. Huh. Like, I literally never thought about it.
That is so funny that you never realized it.
I never realized it.
It's such an incestuous
I know.
Place.
I know. Like, I know that now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was years. I just was like, this is where we all...
This is where we all come to
this
do
is
our
work.
Art.
Yeah,
we're just working. We're all telling jokes. We're tee-hee-heeing. Nobody's fucking a single soul.
I truly did not know.
You're like the secretary at the office where everyone's fucking. You're like, what? I've just been in the front the whole time?
I know.
Everyone's in the fax machine closet? I don't know.
I like anticipate that I'll have to send a form to HR if I ever. Like, it was like such a big deal to me when I started seeing Rhea because I was just like, what if anybody knows, you know,
oh,
that I like
so funny.
Yeah.
But also makes sense.
Yeah, there was no one for me to date, mm-hmm. so I just didn't know everybody was fucking. I didn't know anybody was fucking each other.
Let's see. Do you consider yourself a serial monogamist? Do you jump from relationship to relationship?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's pretty true. There have been like short breaks, but it's usually a couple months. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, maybe I'm like dating around a little bit, but people that I sleep with, it ends up being something. Mm-hmm. And also not all of that totally monogamous, but like mm-hmm. in a way that was like very not like swingy or fully in like a kink scene or something like okay. that. More so just like Like, I had this ex-girlfriend and we tried to date somebody. Like, we met this person. We both really liked her. And so we took her out on dates. But the two of us. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the most, again, like, on the Kinsey scale, I'm a lesbian. Because I just, everything I've ever done
no number satisfies you. You're like, just lesbian. Yeah.
Because, like, nobody, I mean, we, like, took her out on multiple dates and, like, bought her dinner and stuff. Like, anticipating that maybe we would, like, get to kiss her down the line. Like, this is not how any, like, that's non-monogamy works
so
for anybody
sweet.
Else. Yeah.
If we keep taking her out, maybe we can each steal a kiss. We're, like, on Tinder, you'll see couples that are like, we're just looking to fuck somebody new. And you're like, this is so aggressive, and I'm truly not into this.
I know. It was, she broke up with us eventually, and that was a very uncomfortable experience to share with another person. Because, you know, like, we got, when you get dumped by yourself, you're just like, what's wrong with me? I'm disgusting.
But now you're like, what's wrong
with us? Like,
why are we so bad? That is so funny that you as a couple got dumped by this one person. And she was probably like, they won't even fucking kiss me.
I know.
I keep having to eat dinner and nobody will kiss me.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember your first relationship?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's weird because I had, like, a stutter step of dudes, you know, like,
yes.
It's not like I don't consider, I don't know what I consider those because, like, in high school I had boyfriends. What were you like in high school?
I was a fat, very unattractive, pimply woman with glasses who exuded a bunch of confidence. And I'm not sure where I found the confidence because I look back at pictures and I'm like, oh, wow, you had a very, very rough, awkward, ugly phase. I was also very loud. I did not date in high school. I didn't really date until my mid-20s. But yeah, I was just like, and I also grew up in an all-white neighborhood. So it was me, my sister, and then maybe like five other black kids in my school out of like, I think I graduated with like 300 kids. So out of like 1,000 kids at a school, there was like maybe 10. So it was weird in a way where I didn't like find comedy because I was like made fun of for being an other. I was embraced by being an other. People were like, you're inherently cool because you're black. And I was like, I'll take it. Sure, why not? I got pimples and don't look great. So I'll take it. I don't care. So yeah, that's how I was in high school.
So like what group did you hang out with? Like, or did you hang out with a group?
I hung out with, I would say, mid-tier girls.
Mid-tier girls.
Yeah,
I actually,
like they
I
weren't
play some.
Super popular,
yeah,
but
sure.
We weren't fucking losers. And then after my mom died, I started doing more theater. So I hung out with the drama nerds.
Sure.
But I was the coolest of the drama nerds.
Which is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that person.
There's also tears and drama.
Yeah.
And honestly, the techies are at the bottom.
Sure.
The techies.
All that black.
They
all that black,
very cool.
All those black outfits.
Yeah, and then some of them would have dandruff, and you're like, well, if you're going to wear black, you got to wash your hair.
It's true.
Okay. Yeah, so also I was funny in high school, so that got me through a lot of things. I don't think anyone ever made fun of me because they were like, well, she's pretty quick-witted, so if I dare say anything, she'll probably eat me alive,
yeah.
You know, metaphorically and physically.
Right.
I once got suspended from school because this girl was like saying nasty shit to my friend. And I was like, you stupid bitch, I'll sit on you and I'll kill you. And then she like reported me and the school was like, we have to take that as a real threat.
Oh my God.
But then my mom was like, honestly, pretty funny. You want Dairy Queen? And I was like, yes, make me bigger and more threatening.
Wow. Yeah. It's a whole thing.
What were you like in high school?
Well, so my start to dating is like, so my first boyfriend was, I went to a school that was also very white.
Mm-hmm.
He was like very, very tall and Filipino. And he was like the center of the basketball team.
Okay.
And so like that was just an unusual person, right? Like and he also wore like a rainbow belt and was on a dance team on the weekends.
Okay.
He was like a jock, but he also was really into dancing. But like NSYNC era dancing. He like at like a dance school dance.
What a dream.
A circle breaks out. He's the guy in the middle. He like takes off his unbuttoned shirt. Mm-hmm. He has like a white tank top on. He knows like all the dances and everything. Puppet string hands and all that. You know the era.
Oh, absolutely. And, NSYNC. No strings attached. I'm here.
And so like that. And he was also like in a band. He was really sensitive. He was just an unusual person at my high school. So that was the first person I dated.
Quick question. Do you know where he is now?
Years ago, like this maybe would still be 10 years ago, he came to see me do stand-up in Chicago.
Really?
He came to the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago to see me do stand-up. Mm-hmm. And he was like the nicest man. Like, I remember him being very kind to me in high school. Mm-hmm. And we did not keep in touch. And then, like, this would have been, you know, 10 years later or whatever, he came to see me do stand-up. He was so encouraging.
That's cute.
And he was so kind. And I was just like, this, as I suspected, you know, like, I thought you were nice.
And you ended
and you
up
are
being
nice.
A nice person.
Yeah. He turned out, like, handsome, and I think he's an actor. I don't know where he lives, but it was nice to see him. And anyway, so, like, that was the first guy. Then the second guy was the like uber jock in our class. He was the guy, he was like, as a freshman, the varsity football team like asked him to play, and he played the entire game. He played offense, defense, and special teams.
Oh.
And he ran anchor leg on the track team on the 4x100 relay, but he was not on the track team. They were just like, if you want to swing by, you're the fastest.
Help us win this meet. Yeah. You could just drop in if you like.
Yeah.
I mean, what a dream.
So I had like this like unplaceable cool guy and then this really jockey jock guy who was also, he had a, his body was like overdeveloped for a teen. Like he was very, very muscular. Real Magic Mike.
Yep.
That's who I dated in high school.
How long did
you
date him?
Can you believe that that is true?
I think I
did the first guy for like a year and a half, and the second guy, I dated him into college. I dated him for like 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. Did you, were you, I feel like you're pretty androgynous now. Were you feminine or just as androgynous in high school?
Oh my God. Okay. This is going to be a great answer that you're going to, I think, really like. Like going into high school, I wore... I had a uniform skirt because I went to Catholic school. I wore a uniform skirt and, like, you know, button-down shirt or whatever, and white knee socks and, like, those platform Steve Martin loafers.
Yes.
Steve Madden. It's Steve Martin wasn't making them. He was like,
Steve
I didn't
Martin
make
was like,
these.
I do comedy, but also I need the teens to be tall.
I do play a banjo. I don't make these shoes. That's the one thing I don't do. Yeah. Those platform Steve Madden loafers. And I had, like, really long hair. And then once I started dating the second boyfriend, who was, like, so masculine, it was clear to me, like, it's clear to me looking back at pictures that I, like, just, like, gave myself a pass. Where I was like, you're dating this guy? Like, the coast is clear. Nobody thinks. Like,
that is,
like, no,
so funny. And the opposite reaction that I would have.
Oh my God.
I would be like, oh my God, I've got this muscular man. I have to look good at all times in a way that's overly feminized.
No, so it literally, like, my hair gets shorter and shorter and shorter till when I'm a senior and I dyed it. I like bleached it, but then I was on the swim team, so it just turned gray. So I had gray hair, but not the cool gray hair from now.
No, just like gray with a tinge
brittle.
Of green.
Gray green hair. I had a black eye for a lot of the year because because a pool ball had been dropped on my face at like a party that I was at. I had a black eye, had like just choker upon choker, but the beaded ones, you know, like a full,
yes,
like
the
a
surfer
thick,
beaded ones from like,
yep, like every guy in your class had them. Yeah. Like thick beaded chokers. Then I would wear a white leather belt and white platform steel toe Doc Martin boots.
Oh boy.
That were like high.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I look like. I look like an extra that's in the back of Empire Records where they're like,
dying,
is she okay?
To see a picture of this. I love that so much. Okay, we have to take a break.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun.
fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me, spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. What a treat. In high school, I would wear a lot of track suits that matched my sneakers, which matched my nails, which matched my hair.
Oh, ooh.
So sometimes I would be like head to toe in red. So it would just be like a red ensemble, red nails, a red weave. And honestly, looking back, someone should have told me it was not good.
But I mean, you described that to me and I'm like, she has unlocked a level of femininity that I do not know. Like just the idea of you all in a red,
in
just
red.
A red tracksuit is the most feminine thing I can imagine for myself by the time I was a senior.
So funny. I love it so much. You went to a 4-year college?
Yeah.
Did you, so you had that boyfriend until?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore year, you break up. Who did you date after that? Is that when you came out?
Straight up chicks, yeah.
Yeah, baby. Is your coming out story a boring thing to talk about?
No, I mean, it's just, it was gnarly because I went to Catholic college. You could not come out or you could be kicked out of school.
What?
Or removed from the faculty.
That's so insane to me, but yet, like,
this is
not
from
surprising.
Now. Like, this is from now.
Yeah.
I like to, like, add that detail because it feels like, but this is in the
it feels like
late
it's from, like,
50s,
the fucking 50s,
early 60s.
Yeah.
You know, you're like,
but
no, this is
the 2099. Like,
yeah,
that's
this is the 2000s.
Fucking nuts. What a bummer.
So it was like, it was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I was also a theology major because I wanted to be a priest. Who knows what we're doing when we make decisions?
I'm learning such fun stuff.
Yeah. So
you were a circus ringmaster. Then you were like, I'm a priest.
So I started dating women, but it was like not like that, I guess, is my first real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other ones were just like, those were relationships, but it's confusing. They were my best friends, like I love those men. I was not into having sex with them. Nor were we having sex.
Well, I think they were relationships, but I feel like it's like one of those things where it was one of those exercises and something that you thought you had to do, where you're like, well, this is what's expected of me. This is what I have to do.
Like
I remember coming out to my mom that I liked dicks. I was looking up Playgirl on the internet.
Oh, my God.
Didn't know about clearing a browser history. My mom called me into the office that my dad had, and she was like, do you want to tell me why you were looking at Playgirl? And I fully remember going, but what? I want to see them. I want to see all the—I wanted to see penises. And my mom, I remember, like, held back a laugh and was like, well, can you not do it on the family computer? And then I remember saying, then where would I look for them?
Yeah.
Because we only had one computer.
I mean, it's a great question. Get me
my own fucking computer.
That's
so I can
saying.
Look at all the dicks that I want to look at. It was a very weird thing.
And Playgirl, are they, is it an erect penis? It's not like.
No, they're flaccid dicks. I'm pretty sure they're flaccid. I haven't looked at a Playgirl
that just
in
seems,
years.
That seems, what I, the reason I asked that question is because that. I don't know why Playgirl seems like it's, like, partially softcore. Like, is it, like, hardcore?
No, it's softcore in the way that Playgirl is kind of.
Right.
Like, there's
right.
no penetration.
Right.
Nobody's, like, you know, fucking spread eagle and spreading their lips. I feel like it's flaccid dicks or, like, semi-hard dicks.
So isn't that weird now to think about that?
Yeah, that I was like, I gotta see a dick not in action. Just one flopping around. That's all I need.
Oh, man,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I just remember seeing one and being like, okay, all right. And I knew what sex was. Like, I knew what sex was from a very early age because I found a book called Our Bodies, Our Minds or whatever. And I was, like, flipping through it and was like, this is sex between a man and a woman. And I was like, whoa. Hey, mom, quick question. Daddy did that to you? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, how could he?
Oh, my God.
How could he? I remember being so upset about it. And now I'm just like, sex is good, baby. I love it.
You know what I'm going to follow all this up with that I was having in my mind? Nicole, I'm not sure. I need to, like, get a Playgirl, I think, because this is a real thing from my That's actually true. I don't think I know what a flaccid penis looks like.
That's very funny.
because, like, I have certainly seen porn. That's not usually the star of the show.
No.
A flaccid penis.
No, usually they're rock hard from the jump.
That's, you know, they don't show the car trip or the after.
Yes. Yeah. It's all about the action. I will say some of them are, you're just like, ugh. And then have you seen an uncircumcised penis?
I don't, like on the TV. On the TV.
On the TV?
Because, you know, if you think about, also, like, really my most of my experiences with men were in high school and then just, like, a few in college. And, like, I don't know what some people were doing in high school. Like, maybe some people were full. But I was so uncomfortable with my own body that there was a lot of, like, certain articles of clothes are kept on. Yes. And there's, like, rooting around going on. Like, it's not, like, two people,
like, boning,
staring, like, at each other, like, let's see it's not the scene in The Notebook where she takes her, where Allie takes her dress down. Look, I don't even know that scene in The Notebook.
It's okay.
It's not even permanently
burned
on my brain.
You kind of vaguely remember it, and you're like, I don't know. It's not.
No, I know it so well.
Watch American Psycho. I think you see Christian Bale's penis in that.
But then he murders a lot of people, right?
Yeah, he's like holding a chainsaw covered in blood and his dick's flopping around.
All right.
Okay, maybe skip that. Yeah. Maybe that's not how
you watch it. Just
introduced to a
send
dick.
Me a screenshot.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'll send you a flaccid penis. Text messages will be, can you do my podcast? Here's a flaccid penis. And then we become lifelong friends.
That's right.
I guess I was very curious about the male genitalia that I didn't ever search for female genitalia. And I remember the first time I saw a porn, I was like, oh, wow, my vagina does not look like that vagina. And then I went on a hunt for other vaginas. And now I play a very fun game where sometimes at dinner, I'll be like, everyone draw your vagina.
Oh, my God, really? How does that go?
It's fun. You pass around a paper and then everyone draws their vaginas in the way they think they can.
I was just gonna say, cause like, what's the point of view? Are we where's the?
I think the point of view is your legs spread eagle, and whatever's there is what you draw.
Okay, all right, I understand.
But sometimes you can just draw the front if you like.
Yeah, that's
like if you're just standing up.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's like several vantage points.
And that to me is fun because I feel like vaginas don't get talked about a lot, and I didn't know that there was so many different ones, and it's fun to know what your friends are working with.
Actually, you're totally right, and I mean, the number of times I was like at a club, I was at a comedy club, and in the bathroom of the green room, there were like all these paintings, and I didn't realize until multiple shows into the weekend that like in all the paintings there were penises jokingly sprinkled in. It's a garden, but there's like, but some of the flowers are whatever, and I just was like, man, fuck off. Like I'm just like, is this what you think comics
wanna
see? Like,
we
like
see
I'm
a
at
dick
work
at all times.
But
it is interesting that in comedy the work baseline is very blurred. What is appropriate and what's not appropriate is so fucking blurred.
And specifically with penises. Because, like, the number of times I had to follow a comic and they just used the mic for a dick or they, like, humped the stool or whatever. And it's like, do you realize that like, this mic is still sort of your dick. And now I have to put it near my mouth. And you're my friend.
Yeah.
I don't even think you want to do that to me. I just think you're not thinking
about
it.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it's like, it's so accepted. Like, I am so glad that this seems to be like out of favor right now, but I'm so glad that the jerk off motion is no longer in everybody's set.
How?
I'm so tired of that motion.
Interesting. I've never thought of that, but the jerk off motion was in cinema. It was in people's sets. People very regularly would do it in conversations. And it's very funny. I never really did it because it's just a weird motion. Yeah, I'm happy that's gone.
Like 5 years ago and 10 years, that had like a real heyday. I think I could even, I mean, I don't really want to, I'm not going to, but I think I also can tie it to which comic brought that into
Dane
all
Cook?
Of our lives. No, I'm going to say, his arch nemesis.
Oh, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I love Louis. He's a great man. He was never nice to me. So.
I just think he was doing that a lot in his act. And like so many people were
trying to emulate their idol.
Yeah.
I was watching old Dane Cook. Pretty funny.
You know,
shit on Dane Cook, but I was watching some of his early stuff and I was like, you know what? He's wearing JNCOs and a tank top and he's making me laugh.
Another thing that I feel like people don't talk about with him, and like, I don't know if this ever happened for you,
mm-hmm.
but people I knew burnt, like multiple people burnt CDs
mm-hmm.
of like different specials or, mm-hmm. or albums of his. And then this was like a time where like if you had a CD player in your car, that was still like very like,
yes.
Whoa, like you like bring the giant
uh-huh.
book of CDs.
Yep.
And like people would then throw that CD in, and I would be like driving around with friends or on a road mm-hmm. trip or whatever and listening to his albums specifically because mm-hmm. he was like putting them out in a different
yes.
way. And so you could burn them easily. And I think that some of that like community listening to comedy,
mm-hmm.
Like that existed with like records, but then there was a big
yes.
gap. Like Bob Newhart's record, do you know the Button Up Mind of Bob Newhart is like one of the best selling records of all time? Like
no.
It outsold Elvis.
Really?
The year that it was released, it was like the number one record.
No, I did not
and
know.
And so like
that.
People would sit around and have like listening parties mm-hmm. or whatever. Then there's like this huge gap. Then people like listen to Dane Cook that way. And I kind of think it's like primed people
mm-hmm.
to be open to podcasts, things like that.
Yeah.
Like he did actually like usher in a new era of accessibility
mm-hmm.
for stand-up. Whether or not you think he's a piece of shit, that
mm-hmm.
is irrefutable.
Yeah, I do think people shit on him, but he is kind of revolutionary.
Yeah, he like made it so that stand-up was part of like hip culture
mm-hmm.
again. It wasn't really.
Yeah, because I think stand-up was a very niche thing.
It was niche.
For a very long time.
Or it was like rote. It was either
mm-hmm.
like what your parents were doing for a date.
Yes.
Or it was like arty, you
mm-hmm.
know, and he like kind of bridged that and made it,
and now it's
mainstream,
cool and hip.
Yeah,
you tour so much. Do you run into chuckle fuckers?
Never.
Really?
Well, no. I run into them, but I run the other way. They might run into me. Do you? Does that happen
no,
to you?
I don't think it happens very often to straightish women. I don't know. I don't consider myself straight. I also don't consider myself anything other than slutty.
I didn't know you didn't consider yourself straight.
Yeah, it's not like a thing where I'm like, this is the new me. I've like slept with women in the past.
Cool.
And then last year.
I don't know why I said
cool.
Cool.
Cool. Cool. I don't know. What else do you say? Last year, I made like an actual effort to like open my mind and not pass judgment on women so much on apps.
Oh, cool.
To be like, I don't know if she... I don't know. It was like one of those things where I was like, I'm looking for a specific type of woman. But I was like, open yourself up and you might like a different type. I like butch women who are a little bit more masculine than me. But yeah, last year I made an effort where I was like, I want to actually date women and not just sleep with them. And I don't consider myself pansexual because I don't like the term. I think it sounds stupid.
How do you feel about like queer? Like, does that feel good or does that not feel like the right thing? It's like
queer,
you're just like, I'm
feel
open
right.
to dating.
Yeah, I'm just open to dating. Queer
yeah.
doesn't feel right because I would hate to like have some like, you know, like you label yourself as something and then the people are like, let's lift up this new queer voice. And I'm like, ah, no, I'm still pretty heteronormative in my act and my life, truly. But like if a woman were to pop up, I would never be like, I don't do that. And it's like, nope, I like sex with women and
cool.
I like being with women. Most of my dearest friends are women, so why wouldn't I, you know, date one?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really awesome about where we are right now as a culture is, like, I think I'm, like, the gayest
uh-huh.
gayest person. I, like, think I'm so gay. I experience myself as very gay. But, you know, that doesn't mean that for me, I know for sure, like, what type of person I would ever
mm-hmm.
sleep with in the future. And because I know that for me, I think that's probably true for everybody because I
mm-hmm.
think of myself as very far on one side of the spectrum
mm-hmm.
and I still like, you know, can tell if a man is attractive or like, you know, cis man and be like, oh, I'm into
mm-hmm.
that person, you know? And I think that's, I just like, I like where we are right now because I don't, it doesn't change my identity to be open about the fact that like, that doesn't mean irrefutably one answer.
My favorite type of a cis man is when they can go, ooh, what a pretty man.
Like, I love
and
that.
It doesn't negate their straightness or like what they're sexually attracted to, but they can openly say, that man looks very nice and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I like men who are not threatened. Their masculinity is not threatened by another man.
Yeah.
I think the ideal man that I want to date is a man who is gay until he met me.
You know what's so wild is like the frontier of fully identifying as gay for a man and then whoopsie daisy, here's my exception or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I know women who that's true for, you know, like I know folks who are like, I used to identify as like cisgender, now I identify as trans. And so like that means in my shifting identity, I'm now interested in a shifting type of a partner or whatever. Like I know all of these. I do not know the man that you are saying is your ideal man.
I don't know him either.
I don't know him.
I don't know if he exists. I don't know. Like I have many gay friends.
Right.
And most of my gay friends are like hardcore men. Men. I couldn't even dream of a woman. I'll tickle you, but that's about it. That's the most touching I want to do to you. I don't know if anyone's listening. And
what about the biased guy? He's the biased. He's most bi.
All right. I guess I'll take a bi guy.
He's bi-er. I'm sorry I said that.
He's bi-er. Bi-er for me. I mean, that's the dream. That's the ticket. That's what I want. I don't know. I don't ever know. Sexuality is such an interesting thing.
Yeah, it is.
Dating is such a
biased guy. That's
the biased guy. Yeah, I guess that's what I want. I want a bi guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want. A bi guy who's mostly dated men.
Yeah, but see, like,
and that is a thing.
That's
that
a
I
thing.
Can,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I want that for you.
Cameron,
the biased
you.
Guy.
Okay, here's something I ask all of my guests, and by all, I mean everyone except for four people. Would you date me?
Oh, well, not currently.
Okay.
Because this is a terrible time in my life.
Okay. Fair.
And I'm not bringing that into your life.
Fair. Thank you. I appreciate you not bringing that to me.
Yeah, don't. You can't have it. I can take the pain from one relationship
and
I can bring it right to another partner
yes.
and say, hey, do you want to help with this? I'm in a lot of pain and I can deal with it myself, but do I want to?
That's like you moving into a fully furnished apartment and bringing furniture.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there's already a chair here, Cameron.
But
you
also,
can throw that chair away and you're like, no, I'm going to keep it.
The furniture I'm bringing in is on fire. Like we have this furniture here that's not on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But this stuff
is on fire.
Is on
so
fire.
It's toasty.
Yeah.
So we don't need heat. I've solved problems with my furniture. That's very funny. I'm also working on trying to leave things behind that need to be left behind and not bringing in pain or predetermined thoughts into a relationship. It's really hard.
It is really hard.
Being a person who's okay is hard.
Well, also, because, you know, what I've realized recently is, like, the job that I have is a trick that I've played on myself where I think that I'm talking to people about how I'm doing because I'm on stage and it's my job to speak about my emotions. But I'm not really talking to my friends about how I'm doing. I'm not really talking to, like, people who could actually give me helpful feedback because that's not really a relationship that you can have with the audience. Oh, you were talking about chuckle fuckers. And actually, this is a perfect
circle.
Because this is exactly what, like, I don't want an audience to take care of me. Like, that feels disgusting to me. And so if somebody hits on me on the road, which does happen, I feel like you have fallen for a trick. Like, my stage persona is real. That's how I really feel. But it's also not me. Like, I'm a separate person than that. And I don't feel comfortable because they would think they were going home with the person on stage, but they would be going home with me. And some people seem to be okay with that, but I am not okay with
that. So many gentlemen seem to be A-okay with that. I have trouble when I meet people from apps. Like, I was talking to this one guy, and he was like, is it weird to date people who know who you are? And I was like, the only weird thing is when they bring in a preconceived notion about me.
Right.
And he was like, oh, okay, so our first date won't be, like, nailed it? And I was
Oh, my God.
And then the date truly was pretty awful, and I should have not gone. I should have, you know, listened to my intuition. But yeah, that's the hardest thing, I think, right now, is when people think they know something about me because I do talk about my personal life a lot. But also it's like, I talk a lot about it, but like there's so much I don't talk about.
Yeah.
And I am a person, and you don't know everything about me. And let me be vulnerable and let me tell you things.
Well, also relationships, like this is, it's useful for you and I to have conversation and all this is awesome and useful, but relationships are require interaction and like a two-way street.
Yes.
And that's just not something that as a performer you're bringing. Like people that are listening to this, like they might feel like they know me or you because I feel that way about people that I listen to. Like that's what I imagine that's true because that's how I feel.
Yes.
But it's not a reciprocal interaction. So, you know, like I'm looking for reciprocal. This is what I'm looking for. That reciprocal interaction where I'm not bringing too much burning furniture.
Okay. Perfect.
That's it.
I think that's a great thing to want. Cameron, we're at the end.
Thank you.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah. I have a great podcast called Put Your Hands Together that I co-host with Rhea Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
I got a podcast called Queery that is about like the queer experience. And I interview somebody from the queer community like Lena Waithe or Evan Rachel Wood or Tegan or separately Sarah.
Oh, I like that you separated them.
That's right.
That's nice because their whole identity is being together and being twins.
It's very fun to talk to them separately.
I love it. And you can find that on Earwolf.
That's right. Or anywhere you get podcasts.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe wherever you fucking get, you know, just keep listening. But if you send me something nasty, I will read it. And this lovely person emailed me and said, anyway, here's a gross thing. I want to pop the zits off your back with my teeth. Also, you deserve a man who will finally suck your toes. I've never wanted a man to suck my toes, but thank you. Oh, here we go. Nicole, I truly love your podcast. I truly want to feed you fruit punch Jolly Ranchers until your mouth turns so red that it dyes my 12-inch dildo the same color as your favorite red hair clip-ons. After you're done soaking it with your tongue and ruby red saliva, I'll pulverize your pussy while doing my best impersonation of Chadwick Boseman. I want to make you scream my name, still Chadwick Boseman, and even if you mispronounce it, I won't stop pumping you full of red dye number 4. And then they had a whole apology to say, sorry if that's not good enough. But it was perfect. Thank you for your nasty little thought. Okay, bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.